Well, there's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree, and it whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. So take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. Let the disappointments come, lonely days without the sun. If through sorrow more like you I'll become. Take my houses and lands, change my dreams and my plans. For I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And if you call me today to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. And I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'll be willing to do.
I ask you, young people, have you ever been to the place where that song became your prayer? About 40 years ago, God was dealing with my heart. And we don't always want to do everything God wants us to do, do we? We're stiff-necked, we're hard-hearted, we're rebellious, even if we're in the ministry. And God worked me over, and that's about the time that song came out. And God used that song to really help me to realize, if I'm ever going to be what God wants me to be, I've got to make that my prayer. Thank you, Brother Laster, for that message and song. Brother Reed, that was outstanding. I've noticed also there's not a whole lot of difference in his daddy's song leading and his song leading. Hey, I remember when Brother Sam first came here, he would stomp like that while he was leading. He don't do that anymore. If he could get his leg up, he would. But Oh, goodness. Every year in our youth conference, if you've noticed, we've tried to have a young preacher and an old preacher. You can figure out who's who. But all joking aside, we ask God to give us men that has a burden for God. We're not just interested in someone that can please you, but someone that God has used and is using. And we do try to find younger preachers and seasoned preachers to put together. It makes a good combination. Besides that, I have a lot of compassion for older preachers. And it's growing. And you don't understand that, but you will one of these days. I noticed also that most of Brother Reed's jokes went right over your head. You didn't understand them. Let me see what kind of crowd we've got. How many of you understand what the banner says, the banner is? How many of you do not understand? Huh? My wife said, honey, what does those two sticks up there and 9 and 3 mean? I said, look at it and above the 3 put a 2 and underneath it put a 4 and below the 9 put an 8 and above it put a 10. For such a time as...
Shut up.
For such a time as this. It's a clock. A clock. My wife didn't get it. And she felt so bad. I did this in church. She wasn't the only one who didn't get it. I'm sorry, Brother Costigan. But honey, for you. This is for you. A while ago, Brother Angel leaned over and said, preacher, he didn't call me. He said, preacher, what's that 3 and 9 mean? So I explained it to him, and he said, you won't tell anybody, will you? One time, to make you feel better, one time I picked Dr. Hiles up at the airport, and the airport has an elevator, and it's ground floor. Or one and two, just two levels. We were on the second floor going down. He got on and he said, what floor, preacher? I said, Doc, you've only got a choice of one. We're on two. He said, you won't tell anybody, will you? So, you're in good company. Brother Terry Angel pastors of Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais, Illinois. Great church, outstanding preacher. You're going to love these two men of God. He's going to tell you about a CD his young people made, and it'll be available if you'd be interested in one. Come, Brother Angel.
Thank you, love you. All right, it's good to be back. Mrs. Smith, God bless you. I thought he was going to say that you made the banner, and I should have been able to pick that out. It's good to be back in Texas with you folks. I appreciate so much the invitation, Brother Smith. And Brother Davis, to be here at this youth conference, and I have enjoyed myself already. Don't let Brother J. Reed fool you. He's not trying to save the church any money by driving down here. He's got grandkids. His kids are grandkids, what I'm trying to say. And if he shows up in Texas without his grandkids, his daddy will put him back on the plane and send him back. Amen, Brother Sam. So that's what that's all about. Amen. He's pulling on your heartstrings, but there's nothing to that. I appreciate him. Now, I'm a little bit out of sync with him tonight because normally at his youth conference, we're preaching in Bermuda shorts and flip-flops and tank tops. And so I'm not used to seeing Brother Reed in a suit and tie, but we are used to... What's that? Thanks, honey. Amen. That's right. All right. So, But that was good, Brother Reed. God bless you. I'm glad to be here, as I said. And the only hot week we have had in Illinois all summer is the week you folks came from Texas, packed it in your suitcase, and brought it with you. Other than that, it's been delightful up all summer, up home, a little wet, but delightful nonetheless. That's right. And yes, we had a wonderful wedding. For those of you who were at the youth conference in Elgin, that Saturday, we had a wonderful wedding for our third child, our second daughter, Abby, and thrilled with the young man that God gave her. And then last Saturday, 2 days ago, my wife's dad, 77, got married to a 75-year-old lady out at Marion Avenue Baptist Church in Washington, Iowa, where I worked for 10 years, where my wife is from. And I was a part of that, and it was a blessing. I told all those, I had about a 10-minute part in the mess in the ceremony, and I told all the 70-year-old folks in the auditorium that it ought to be an encouraging day for them. Amen. Just hang in there. Amen. Your time is coming. All right. So searched all through my church ed notes, never found anything we ever learned in college about marrying a 77-year-old to a 75-year-old, but it worked out all right. He was as nervous as a 22-year-old. He was as nervous as a 22-year-old. We were back behind the platform in the little room there, Brother Brown, myself. The woman he was marrying, her brother was there. He's a pastor in Sacramento, California. And then myself, so four of us men, and Dad was just as nervous as he could be, just nervous. And Brother Brown picked up on it, and he said, Brother John, he said, are you nervous? And he said, yes, sir. And he said, I really am. He said, I don't know if I should kiss her or not. What? He said, I don't know if I should kiss her or not. I don't know if I want to kiss her or not. I don't know if I should kiss her or not. And Brother Brown said, well, Brother John, you do whatever makes you happy. You do that, okay? And we're fine with it. But my dad-in-law looked at his soon-to-be bride's brother from Sacramento and said, Brother Dick, what do you think? Should I kiss her or not? And he said, whatever you think, John, whatever you think. And he looked at Terry, what do you think? Should I kiss her or not? And I said, well, Dad, I think it'd be kind of strange if you don't. And so he was nervous enough. Buddy, when it came time for the kiss, he didn't have a choice. She reached out, put her hand on the back of his head, amen, and just drew it over there, smack. And I mean, buddy, laid a lip lock on him that would make a 22-year-old proud. Amen. So that was a blessing. It was exciting. I tell you what, it was unique and different, but it was a lot of fun. And so we've been through two weddings since we saw some of you folks at Elgin a few weeks ago, and have had a good time in both. Please don't hold anything against Brother Reed and I being from Illinois. When you consider our current president, please don't hold anything against us. And we did everything we could to see to it that he was not elected. But anyway, he's in. And Abraham Lincoln's from Illinois, and Ronald Reagan is from Illinois. So 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Amen. So that's pretty good odds. All right. Yes. So we do have some materials on the table out there in the foyer. If you want to come by and take a look at them, that'll be fine. I am excited about a CD, professionally recorded CD, that several of the young people in our church, singing group, put together just recently. It's only been out about a month. It is an excellent CD and good music, and they do a good job. And if you want to come by, if you enjoy good Christian music, you come by and take a look at that. And the other things out there, there's things for ladies and things for men and young people. So get some books, and you might be interested in coming by the table tonight. Let's look over in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I appreciate what Brother Reed said at the beginning of his message about not waiting till Wednesday night for God to speak to you. The man he just preached about out of Psalm 69, David, he said, God, be not silent to me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit. Kind of says to me that if God doesn't speak to our hearts every now and again, we're headed down. Be not silent to me. And folks, don't miss the seemingly coincidental in little things. I don't think it's coincidental that Brother Reed comes down to the end of his message and he's burdened about young people being willing to take up their cross and do whatever it takes to follow the Lord. And he wheels around, does 180, and says, you know, we don't hear that song much anymore. And then Brother Todd Lasseter gets up and sings it. He didn't run to the office and pick it out so it would fit Brother Reed's message. God already had it designed, what He had chosen for Brother Lassiter to sing tonight. I don't think stuff like that's coincidental. I think God puts that kind of thing together. So I believe with all my heart tonight that God's already started speaking in the very first service. Is he silent to you? I hope not. So don't wait for Wednesday night. Open your heart up tonight to the Lord. And let Him speak to your heart in a very specific and special way. And I appreciate so much you good pastors and youth pastors that came out with the young people tonight and came from some distance in this heat and drove over to be in the conference. Without you, we don't have a conference here tonight. So thank you so much for coming. Brother Duff, it's so good to see you again. And one of the great churches in America is in Fairbanks, Alaska. And Brother Duff had been there for years and years. I had the privilege of being there on a Wednesday night many years ago, traveling to see Brother Bob Mace, missionary in Kotzebue, who's now in heaven. Some folks don't live to be 60. Some folks don't live to be 70. Some folks don't live to be 50. Brother Bob Mace died very early in life. So young people, don't wait to start serving the Lord. You don't know how many years you have. All right? So it's so good to see him again. Some of you other friends, dear friends, and brethren in the ministry, and I appreciate it so much. Let's stand, please. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to be kind to you tonight as the Lord leads here and get through this message in good time because it's the first night of the week. Please look at verse number 5. I'll skip a few verses and not read every verse in the passage for sake of time. Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I want to speak tonight on this subject for a few moments, young people. Why are you wearing that? I'm going to ask a question for the title of the message tonight. Why are you wearing that? Let's pray together. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please open our hearts to your word tonight. Thank you for what we've already heard from the word of God. It is quick and powerful, and I pray that it will be also that again in this message. God, give us clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and I pray that you'll give the young people, Lord, attentiveness and concentration. And Lord, will you please be not silent to us, lest we be like them that go down to the pit. Help us, O God, during these days to hear from heaven. May the Holy Spirit rule in these moments, and I'll thank you for it. Bless this meeting and this message at this time in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Let me encourage you to keep your Bible open because I want you to see some of the things in this passage that we read a moment ago. Why are you wearing that? Anybody ever asked you that question? Yeah. You ever asked anybody that question? Why are you wearing that? Usually it is a question asked when someone thinks that what a person is wearing is not appropriate for the occasion. Maybe someone is either underdressed or overdressed, or they've chosen the wrong clothes considering the event. Or someone may be wearing old clothes that are outdated and, as far as style goes, out of style. Why are you wearing that? Remember some years ago when I was youth director. These kind of things happen to you when you're youth directors and you've got youth activities. And I was working for Brother Brown and bus director and youth director. And I had bus ministry Saturday morning and youth ministry on Saturday afternoon. And then adult Sunday school class on Sunday morning, youth assistant pastors. Remember what that, you know what that's all about. And so it was wintertime in Iowa and I'd gone to the bus meeting and I realized that I had underdressed for the cold. It was not only cold, but the wind was blowing, and it was going to be a miserable day out if I didn't get some more clothes on. So I was in a hurry, had a bus route to call, had to get back to conduct the youth activity. I ran to the house. I had the bus route on my mind. My bus calling partner was sitting in the car. Didn't want to make him wait long. In those days, I had a red suit, a Long John red suit. One piece red suit of Long John's. So I ran back to the bedroom. I threw off my shirt, threw off my pants, and I put my red Long John suit on. Threw my coat on, threw my shirt on, threw my coat on, pulled my cowboy boots on, wasn't thinking about what I was doing. I knew I had something on my legs. Came walking down the hallway through the kitchen, and thank God for a loving wife who said to me, "Terry, why are you wearing that?" I had forgotten to put my pants on. So I had my shirt and this long, these red Long Johns and my cowboy boots in those days, and I'm so thankful that she just didn't say bye. Watch me walk out into the Iowa winter with my Long John suit on. She said, "Why are you wearing that?" I looked down and thought, "Oh my gracious, man, that's bad." Went back to the bedroom and got myself dressed. "Why are you wearing that?" Now, in this chapter, Colossians 3, as well as Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes to Christians about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Now, the old man is not Brother Todd Lasseter. The old man is the old carnal, natural, sinful man that we become at conception. It's what David meant in Psalm chapter 51 when he talked about, "In sin did my mother conceive me." He didn't mean that his mom was involved in some kind of immoral relationship. What he meant was, as soon as he was conceived in the womb of his mother, he possessed a sin nature. He was an old man. It is the nature that we received from Adam. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man," that one man is Adam, "sin entered into the world." That old man, that sin nature, was passed on to every human being because we are all descendants of Adam. So the old man is the sinful man that each of us is, that old nature. Now, the new man is what we become at the moment of salvation. Before we get saved, our spirits are dead in trespasses and sin. And then at salvation, our spirits are quickened. The word doesn't mean fast or quick of movement. It means made alive. And now we have a new man residing in the same body that the old man resides in. When you look at Terry Angel this evening, you are looking at a man that has two natures. He has the old man and the new man living in this one body. And if you are saved, when I look at you tonight, I'm looking at a young lady or a young man, as the case may be, with two natures. You've got the old nature and the new nature, the old man and the new man, living in the same body. Now, if you're not saved, the old man is in complete control of you. You are lost without God and without hope in the world. And it may be that that's why you don't enjoy the Christian life. The Christian life is real difficult if you're not saved. Now, it's not difficult once you're saved. Well, the Christian life is so hard. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. But if you're an unsaved person, dominated by the old sin nature, dominated by the old man, trying to live a life that's supposed to be lived by the new man, you're going to have a tough time. And you're not going to enjoy. If you're saved tonight, you've got two natures. The old man and the new man. Now, each of these two natures has appetites that are unique to them. The old nature loves sin. The new nature hates sin. The old nature is satisfied with religion, with just a belief, a head acknowledgement that there is a God. But the new nature is not satisfied with just a belief in God. The new nature is only satisfied with a close relationship with the living God. The old nature has an appetite that includes the behavior we read about in verses 5, 8, and 9. The new nature has an appetite that includes the behavior we read about in verses 12 and 13. Here's my question tonight. Which man are you wearing? Which man are you wearing? And if you are wearing the old man tonight, why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing that, young person? Now, by the way, I'm not screaming at you. I'm going to hopefully answer that question for you in just a few minutes. Look at verse number 5. Look at the things mentioned here. Mortify therefore your members. That's the old nature which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at verse number 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath. Boy, people in the world today are eaten up with anger. I was very surprised at the airport today. Our plane was supposed to leave at 10 minutes after 10 Chicago time. And about 12 minutes after 10, they came on the intercom and said, "Folks, this plane has been taken out of service. And we're going to try to find another craft to get you to Dallas-Fort Worth." And I've been in those situations before, and I've watched people go crazy, wild, mad. And everybody was pretty calm this morning. Actually, we finally got to take off about 12 o'clock. Got here, you know, late, but everybody was pretty calm. And the pilot said over and over again, he said, "Folks, I want to thank you for your patience today." You know, that's not the norm. Brother Smith was telling me a week ago. He got bumped off a plane going to Corpus Christi, Texas. They had sold 65 seats for that plane. They came back on and said, "Folks, I forget exactly what happened, but they can only take 40 of you on the plane to Corpus." That means 25 folks had to get knocked off that plane. Brother Smith was waiting in line there to talk to the person at the desk, the agent, the ticket agent, and he said he never heard such language coming out of people's mouths. Angry, mad, filthy. And when he finally got to the desk, he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry you got to put up with all this and listen to all this kind of talk, and I know it's not your fault. I really need to get on this flight, and if you can help me get on this flight, there's a congregation of people down in Corpus Christi, Texas, waiting for me to preach at 7 o'clock, and if I can get on this flight, I can make it, but if I don't catch this flight, I won't make it." She said, "We'll see what we can do." They loaded 40 people on that plane, put all the bags on, and then they said, "We have room for 3 more. With so-and-so and so-and-so and Dr. Bob Smith come to the podium." He got on the plane. I never seen so much anger in my life amongst God's people. Now, I'm not a pacifist. I don't think the Bible says be angry and sin not. The Bible doesn't say don't get angry. It says be slow to anger. But I'm telling you something here. Anger, wrath. People are mad, mad at home, mad on the job, mad on the road, mad at the airport, angry in the stores, playing ball. Folks, if we are saved, we have no business acting like that. Why are you wearing that? And then he goes on to say in verse number 8, filthy communication out of your mouth. What's on your Facebook page? What's on your MySpace? What if we ran a little search on all your text messages? What's wrong with our young people? Get on their Facebook pages and see all this nonsense and gang signs and all this filthy, vile behavior. When I read that, that's the kind of behavior that's natural to the old man. And yet you're saved? learn that. Lying one to another. Why are you wearing that? Where is the holiness talked about in verse number 12? Where is the mercy and the kindness and the humbleness of mind and the meekness and the long-suffering and the forbearing and the forgiving, the charity and the love? Why are we not putting on those things? Why are we not wearing that? Can I answer that question tonight, or attempt to try to help you? Why are you wearing that? First of all, listen very carefully. How many of you young people, and I'm going to raise my hand with you. How many of you know something about computers? You know how to get on a computer and you use a computer for something? Raise your hand if you know how to do that. Young people do that. Okay. I figured that's your generation. Okay. I've learned how to do that. Now, I'm slow. Took me a long time. But when you got a boy and a daughter-in-law and two granddaughters 9,800 miles away on the mission field, you learn how to use email and webcam and all that stuff. So I'm getting up to date real quick. But I'm glad you know a little bit about computers, because let me tell you why we wear that kind of stuff. Number one, we put on the old man by default. How many of you understand default? Come on, kids, talk to me. How many of you understand default? Huh? You understand the default setting on a computer, right? Okay. The default setting on a computer. When I open my Word program, I still like to write out my sermons. I don't know what it is. I feel it better or something. But if I'm going to teach a class, like my Sunday school class, and I'm going to teach a class up at college there, Brother Gomez's, I will type those notes up, and I can do that. Sometimes on Wednesday night, I'll type my notes up. And when I open my Word program and it log into my own document, my default settings are already there. I like the font Bookman Old Style. I like size number 11. The margins are set. And when I open that Word document, it opens automatically to all of those settings. They're there by default. I have a printer loaded on my... In fact, I have two printers loaded on my computer. When I open a Word document, one of those printers is my default printer. Now, if I want something different than Bookman Old Style, font size 11, half-inch margins, Canon i560 printer, then I have to manually change the settings, because those are the default settings. You with me? Listen very carefully. When you and I wake up in the morning, when we get up in the morning, by default, we're wearing the old man. It's our default setting. As soon as the alarm clock goes off and our eyes open and we begin to stir and swing our legs out of bed to begin a brand new day, we are in default mode. We wear the old man by default. And if I don't do something on purpose to change that, I'm going to go through the whole day wearing the old man by default. Wearing the old man by default. That's why there's anger. That's why there's wrath. That's why there's lying in our youth groups. Lying in our Christian schools. Lying about our tests and our grades and our homework. That's why there's filthy communication, the kind of stuff Brother Reed was talking about early. It doesn't have to be a profane word to be filthy communication. I'm going to tell you something. I hope in this crowd, you folks haven't stood around and talked about Michael Jackson in the last week. I'm so sick of seeing our nation glamorize a pervert. A pedophile. I think even talking about a person like that qualifies as filthy communication coming out of the mouth of a person who's been supposed to be born again. We go through all day covetous. We go through all day with filthy communication. We go through all day angry and unforgiving and unholy and lying. Why do a lot of Christians wear those things all day? Because they wear the old man by default, and those are the things that the old man enjoys. You know, I don't think I'm preaching to bad kids tonight. Truth of the matter is, I bet I'm preaching to some teenagers who are a little bit discouraged about how it's going in life, spiritually speaking. And you get down on yourself. And you get discouraged with your behavior. And that rebellion just belches out at dad. That rebellion just belches out at mom. And you say something ugly and in rebellion, and you walk away and you think to yourself, why do I act like this? Why do I lie? Why do I get so angry? Why do I want to laugh at that dirty joke? Why am I like this? Because, folks, those things are the result of your default setting. They're natural to the old man. Now, whatever time you woke up this morning, when you rolled out of bed, it's like opening your computer to the Word program and all those default settings come up. And as soon as you woke up, the old man was what you were wearing, because that's your default setting every morning. Now, number two, we don't take action to put on the new man. We wear the old man because that's the default setting. And number two, we don't take action to put on the new man. If the old man is the one we wear by default, I must purposely take some action to change that. That's why our Bible says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16, that the inward man is renewed month by month, year by year, decade by decade. No, though, by the Bible says that the inward man, talking about the new man, is renewed, what, young people? Day by day. Why does that new man have to be renewed day by day? Because every time we wake up in the morning, the old man is what we're wearing. Default. So here we are on Sunday. By the time, you know, you get up and get going to Sunday school and everything, you sit in the Sunday school class and enjoy the lesson, and you get in the morning service and you enjoy the songs and you get with the teenagers and you have a good time at church, and some folks get saved, some folks get baptized, and the choir sings good music and your heart's pumped up, and you come back for the Sunday night service and man, you're having a great time. Had a good youth activity on Saturday, and you know, spiritually you're just doing real good. But then you wake up on Monday morning and it's right back to anger, and it's right back to lying, and it's right back to all the things that are natural to the old man. You have got to go in and change the default setting. Look, if I'm going to print a document off on the printer of my laptop computer, and I'm tired of Bookman old style, I'm tired of font size number 11, and I'm tired of half-inch margins, I have to go in and I have to change, manually change the setting. I've got to choose a new font type. I've got to choose a new font size. I've got to pick new margins. If I don't, everything that's there by default is what's going to be printed out. And young person, look, if you don't get up in the morning and do something about your default setting, you're going to wear that all day. Y'all with me tonight? I'm not over your head right now, am I? No, you know what a default setting is. And your default setting is the old man. The inward man is renewed, refreshed. You got a refresh button on your computer, Brother Wes? The inward man is renewed, refreshed day by day. Every day, Terry Angel rolls out of bed wearing the old man by default. And if Terry Angel, pastor for 20 years, an assistant for 10, and saved for 35, I don't care about all that stuff. If Terry Angel doesn't do something every morning to go in and change the default setting, I'm going to wear the old man all day long. I need the Word of God. I need prayer time. I need good Christian music. I need that time with the Lord to have my new nature refreshed. My new man refreshed. I've got to go in and do something about it. Child of God, teenager, that's why so many of you are wearing the old man and you're asking yourself these questions. Why am I one way on Sunday and another way on Tuesday? And why am I one way after a week at camp? And then 2 weeks later, I'm not that way any longer. You could spend a year at camp, folks. Doesn't matter. The day after camp, you're going to get up wearing the old man. And you've got to do something to refresh and renew the inward man day by day. Did you, some of you here tonight are wearing the old man. I'm not talking about the clothes you got on. I'm talking about what's in here. You're not enjoying this. You didn't enjoy Brother Reed. You're bored out of your mind. You look around, you see other kids, and you think, well, why can't I enjoy it like them? I'm going to tell you why. You got up this morning, the first thing you did was pop in some music that's not honoring or glorifying to God. Your Bible sat closed all day. In fact, you didn't bring it tonight. Maybe you prayed for your dinner. God bless the food. In Jesus' name, amen. You haven't taken any time to reset your new man. You haven't taken any time to refresh it. And you're wearing the old man by default, and something has to be done to refresh and the inward man day by day. I remember when I worked at a grocery store. I was in charge of the produce section for a little while. And we'd have fresh lettuce and fresh broccoli. And back in those days, underneath the produce counter, we had a retractable garden hose. And we'd pull that garden hose out. It was my job every once in a while, every so many hours, to go by the produce stand there, produce place, and pull that retractable hose out and turn on the water and take the sprayer and just go. Nowadays, it's all done automatically. You walk by the produce section, and all of a sudden you hear this little mist of water. Why do they do that? Because that broccoli and those green onions and those peppers and that leaf lettuce and those radishes, as they sit throughout the day, they begin to wilt and the leaves begin to curl up a little bit. They don't look fresh. And so they come by every now and again with a little mist of water. It refreshes those vegetables. They take on the green, takes on a new vibrant green. The leaves perk up a little bit, and it all looks like it's fresh. And I want to tell you, young person, that's why some of you are wearing the old man. You've not taken any time on a regular basis, day by day, to refresh, to renew, to change the setting, to put on the new man. Y'all with me tonight? You wear the old man by default. So if you're going to be different, you got to change that. Let me say number three tonight. If you are wearing the old man, you are underdressed. Say, what do you mean, Brother Angel? Let me be real blunt. If you're a born-again Christian and you got filthy communication on your cell phone text messages and your Facebook page, shame on you. That's not becoming to a child of God. You're underdressed. I don't care if it's at home. I don't care if it's at work. I don't care if it's at play. I don't care if it's at school, at church, or somewhere. Friend, if you're not wearing the new man as a child of God, you are underdressed. I'm not talking tonight about the clothes on your back right now. I'm talking about your spirit. I'm talking about your words. I'm talking about your attitude. I'm talking about the love in your heart instead of anger. I'm talking about positive things and good things coming out of your mouth instead of filthy communication. Why are you wearing that? Why? Shame on you. You are underdressed. and a shame, a cause of shame to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, putting on that new man is as close as this book right here. And putting on that new man is as close as a short prayer list. And putting on the new man is as close as some good godly music before you leave the house in the morning. I'm talking about, friend, look, we could talk all we want about seeing our young people do something to save America and make an impact for God. But if our young people don't get in the habit daily of spending just a little time in this book, we can kiss all those dreams goodbye. What are you going to do about what you're wearing? What are you going to do about what you're wearing? And why are you wearing it? Why are you going day after day after day after day wearing the old man? Take a few minutes, even at youth conference time, Tuesday morning, tomorrow morning, when you roll out of bed, you take a few minutes in this book. Take a few minutes before the face of God. Take a few minutes to pray. Take a few minutes to confess your sin. And ask God, help me, Lord, today to wear the new man. Put on that new man. Billy Sunday, I think most everybody knows that name. Great revivalist. Former baseball player for the Chicago White Stockings. Got saved at the Pacific Garden Mission in downtown Chicago. Billy Sunday started out in his life for God. He was struggling as a Christian. He was kind of discouraged about the way that things were going in his life. And he was in a church service. And an old man, a Christian man who'd been saved for a long time, could just sense that Billy Sunday was discouraged. Didn't know who he was. Didn't know really much about him. But just sensed, here's a new Christian that's discouraging. And this man went by and said, put his hand on his shoulder. And he said, William, there are three simple rules I can give to you. And if you will hold to these rules, you'll never backslide. He said, number one, take 15 minutes every day to listen to God talk to you. He said, number two, take 15 minutes every day to talk to God. And he said, take 15 minutes every day to talk to someone else about God. He said, if you will do those three things, you will never backslide. You know, people, can I say to you and me tonight that if we'd do those three things, we'd wear the new man. And we wouldn't be guilty of wearing the old man. And Jesus Christ wouldn't look down from His throne in heaven and say to us, why are you wearing the old man is your default setting. You're going to have to change that every day. And if you don't, it's like walking out of the house in your long johns. Why are you wearing that? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Wonder if the Spirit of God came by your pew where you're sitting. And I agree with what Brother Reed said earlier tonight. When he talked about we get to the place where we just fulfill our obligation, run to the altar, stay for 60 seconds or more, and then head back to our seats. But I wonder tonight, let's do away with that, huh? Let's get real with God. And I wonder tonight if some of you listening to Brother Reed preach a little while ago, you've been shrinking from reproach. You've been unwilling to bear His reproach. And the Spirit of God talked to you during that message tonight about standing up and being counted for God and being willing to bear His reproach. Brother Angel, during that message, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart specifically about something. Don't lie to God, but if He did that tonight, would you please raise your hand if God spoke to you specifically in that first message? God bless you. I see that. Now, many hands. Now, I wonder this. I wonder if some of you have been wearing the old man. Some of you have been discouraged about your Christian behavior. Some of you have been disgusted at yourself and doubting yourself. Why am I acting like that? And tonight, the Spirit of God came by your pew and showed you something very simple from His book. The old man is your default setting. You haven't been doing anything to refresh or renew the inward man. And you said, Brother Angel, I've been underdressed as a Christian. I'm not talking about your clothes. I'm talking about what's in your heart. I've been underdressed as a child of God. And I see tonight, it's because it's my default setting and I haven't done anything to change it. And God spoke to me specifically about that. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight in the service? There's a lot of hands again. Thank you. Take your hands down. It's about 7 minutes after nine. We're not going to belabor the invitation. If we have to play 61 verses of I Surrender All to get you to come to the altar, I'm not sure God spoke to your heart. If you raised your hand tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to your heart in the first message or the second message, and you know it, and there's something specific that you need to deal with God about, when the first verse begins, you'll be the first one out of your pew. Don't wait to look down the aisle and see what the person down the pew from you is doing. You obey God in the first notes in just a moment. Dear Father, I pray that you'll take the two messages and, Lord, through one of them, speak to the hearts of every young person. Help us, O God, to be willing to bear your reproach. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to stop wearing that which is unique to the old man and refresh that new man every day so we can wear what's becoming to him. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.